Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. You can find the podcast over at the civicmedia.us website and on all the socials. I want to introduce a friend and a guest for the Happier Happy Hour, Dr. Tim Slucker from Busted Pencils. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show, man.
What's happening, Dom? How are you?
I'm fantastic, dude. I thought of you yesterday, and I'm so glad that this worked out. I had no idea. Donald Trump was in town in Mosinee, Wisconsin, Tim, and he's just thinking outside the box, and he thinks his selling point for, you know, people in Wisconsin and this country, he is going to eliminate the Department of Education, send it back to the states, and I think you specifically mentioned Senator Ron Johnson to perhaps be his education czar, Tim.
Czar. Yeah. Rojo, man. Mr. Conspiracy Theory number two. He's like, he would be like Trump's number two, you know, instead of his number one.
Who does number two work for?
Who does number... Oh. I was just like, okay, man. Can he dig? For me, when I hear Trump making these statements, I almost feel like he's intentionally engaging in his own self-sabotage. But my cousins who are supporters think it's brilliant. Just think, and so it reminds you of going like, no, there is nothing this guy can say that will turn off his rabid cult following. Mm. They love it.
Fair enough, so they're down, so no matter what happens, they're down. Whatever Trump says, they're down. To get into their heads, what do you think the benefit of a Trump supporter perception would be to eliminate the Department of Education? How would that make their lives better?
Dom, I can't explain it because I said, because I'm going to go back. These are family members that I have in Pittsburgh, blue collar, like Milwaukee, blue collar kids. Like we all grew up together in the 70s, early 80s and stuff. And it's like, you know, the total beneficiaries of public schools, everything like this. And it's like, so, you know, Friday night football, everything. You say, you know, they want to eliminate the Department of Education. And I have cousins going, well, that's good because they're doing sex change operations to kids now. I mean, this is seriously, this is, you know what I'm going? I'm like, wait.
On the altar like, of wait, transgenderism.
Transgender, but I mean, I have family members that hear that and literally say, well, you know, since we left school, this is the reality that there's kitty litters in the bathrooms. Kids are showing up one day. The next day, they're a different sex.
Man, you can't even get like an aspirin.
I know, right?
School, and they're going to give you transgendered operations? I mean, what? Yeah.
Well, you know, and they're like, well, I'm like, where do you get this information? They're like, well, Trump said so. That's it. Yeah. That's all. You know, and you're sitting there going, it's like, wow, do you guys... You were talking about this yesterday with Earl, like critical thinking. I kind of was like, no, you know, we need to thinking critically. And because critical thinking's outside, and it's just like, you know, what are you going to get from this? I don't understand it because, you know, I'm like, what is it about your life? And I'm really, you know, again, family members, same upbringing, same family roots, all those things. Mm-hmm. And going like, what is it about your life that's so miserable right now that is going to become so much better if the Donald, you know, TFG gets in there? What's going to happen? And they can't, they're like, Tim, you don't understand. He is going to restore our country.
He's gonna make America great again. What does that mean?
This is the same crappy country that you and I had in the 70s and 80s that all of our fathers, my uncles, all of our family all lost our job, you know, lost jobs to U.S. Steel, all the, you know.
All right. Yes.
Yeah. It's just like, do you remember what it's like to to not grow, you know, to grow up in the Rust Belt during the time with a massive collapse of the industry. And yet, you know, they were saying, remember the first time when Trump was running in 2015 to 2016, all of the area where we grew up around Pittsburgh, you know, all those mills, they're all gone. They've been gone for 25 years. There's now shopping centers, high rises and everything going right. And he said, well, Tim, yeah, he's going to bring the mill back. I said, where right. is he going to bring the mill back to? You understand right now there are these mega high rises with condos down there. I'm pretty sure that when Trump says, hey, we want to put a mill back in here, that it's just, but I'll beside myself. Hey, I'm so excited though to be on your show. I'm so excited for you having the show. Yeah, dude. This thanks, is man. Awesome.
It is. It's a lot of fun, and it's more fun when friends, it's like the Domin Friends show, come around. Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. Pittsburgh, man, Pennsylvania. Right now, some of the scatter that I'm hearing is that's where it's going to be. And we talked about Wisconsin and Michigan, but it seemingly is really coming down to Pennsylvania. What's your sense of what's going to happen in that state?
Yeah, I mean, look at that. And again, you try to think about it and go, how is it possible that it is truly the polling there shows that there is no. There's no favorite. It's mm-hmm. absolutely down to the wire. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And it's almost going, how does that happen? It's like, how is it not clear? But the fact is that, yeah, that's the stake we're in. I've heard a couple of people going, see, this is why she should have went with Shapiro. I don't take that as going like, this is if Shapiro was going to be the VP, that this would be any different right now. Because I said, I've got blood relatives who absolutely, you know, nothing's going to change their mind. And I just think that in Pennsylvania, I don't know that there are any swing voters, truly. It's going to come down to getting out the vote.
Right.
It's going to be who shows up. And people, you know, anybody listening in Pennsylvania, if they're out there, man, you got to get out and vote. You just got to get out and vote, because that's what's going to happen in the swing state of Pennsylvania. And I think in any of these swing states, Michigan and stuff, anybody who goes like, oh, she's pulling ahead, I can relax. No, you cannot relax.
There
you
will be no relaxing.
Relax.
We'll sleep when we're dead, Tim.
Yes, exactly, Dom.
The concept of eliminating the Department of Justice, and although Trump said it most recently, I've heard over the years.
Education, you meant?
I'm sorry, yes, the Department of Education, yeah. Justice, education, whatever. It's
yeah,
the,
whatever.
It'll always be the Department of Trump, and he'll make the determinations on everything. Thank you very much. I've heard Republicans in the past lament the Department of Education and all that. Now, I'm not into it, Tim. I know you are. Help me understand. If they were to eliminate the Department of Education, what impact would that have on our local schools?
It would have an impact. Well, first of all, it's the symbolism of saying that as a federal government, we do not believe in support in public schools. We are not going to do that. The funding, people are like, yeah, the federal Department of Education's funding is negligible. No, it's actually in places like Milwaukee, when you're talking about funding the disparities in poverty.
Yeah.
Without that Department of Education funding right now, the trauma that kids will suffer from the decrease. And we'd say, looking at Wisconsin particularly, when you look at that, you know, you've been the beneficiaries of constant funding cuts and slashing. I hate using that word, but to imagine a Department of Education federal funding cut for those Title IX monies, no, my goodness, it would be devastating to families. But it's you got to understand too that, or not you, but anybody who's listening, you know, understand that the Department of Education, though, is a symbol. It's a symbol that they've been trying to come after since Reagan, to do away with that Department of Education, because that department steps up and says, we support public schools. And man, guess what? If you support public schools, you might just be a socialist.
and don't talk about the roads or the sewer system or any or the courts or anything else, because those are all, of course, paid for by our tax dollars.
But that's what we, you know, when we, you know, had the nightly show with Busted Pencils, we'd be talking about this constantly, going like, do you understand the concept is that it's the attack on public schools, that symbol of public schools, of being the, you know, the the cause of every social ill, you know, because in school, that's where you learn to defy your parents. In public schools, you know, you get acquainted with alternative, that's the word, alternative histories. No, you get acquainted with the ability to think critically, some of us. And the other part, though, maybe this, though, too, I'll put this back. Do you remember, I was always trying to go, like, if public schools were as absolutely awesome at indoctrinating people into Marxist socialism hatred of America, didn't you think they'd finally accomplish it now? Yes. After 40 years, right. It's like, you know, I'm like, I'm a product of it, and actually, you know, this is where the research and the reality of what actually does come out of public schools. I have a good colleague in South Carolina at Furman State who does this research. It says, you know, the majority of public schools mostly indoctrinate still capitalism and conservatism, that's still the bread and butter. So, like, when, you know, you talk about Friday Night Football and things like that, people who love that, these are just, you know, regular, mostly white people who like going and hanging out. And public schools as a force for indoctrination towards some form of an accepted freedom where other people are, it's an aspiration.
Well, I mean,
it's
come on, the indoctrination, Tim, is being done by the private voucher school industry. We're talking about, I went to a Catholic high school after a public grade school. My parents, they went in their own pocket. They didn't get any tax breaks for it. They didn't get any vouchers for it. They decided that's what they wanted to do, and that's what they did. And part of that education, albeit only for 1 year, because apparently, Tim, everything's a matter of faith in a religious school. Religion was required. It was a required class. And that is literally indoctrination. What do you tell people that if they don't believe what you believe, they're destined to be damned to burning hell forever? I mean, that's a pretty scary thought for a fourth grader.
Sure it is. But, you know, like you just point out, the intentional indoctrination, you notice now, too, with vouchers and stuff, we don't care about the fact that actually voucher schools will indoctrinate, because it's not about that. It's about parents' choice, parents' rights. It's about restoring the ability of parents to make their own choice. And if they want to choose that dinosaurs and people all hung out around 5,000
years
ago,
Jesus
rode the dinosaurs. I mean, that's nobody's business, but, you know, that's the freedom of all loving Americans, and that's why, private schools indoctrination, though, Dom, I'm so glad you point that out, because, you are paying for some form of an indoctrination. That's why you're paying for it. The reality of public schools, is there an indoctrination? I'd like to think that indoctrination is towards democracy, freedom, liberty, the concepts that make us a nation that wants to hang together.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We the people, Dr. Tim Slecker, Busted Pencils. Thanks for coming around, man. We'll make it more of a regular thing. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, man.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Come back 855-752-4842. The Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines are open. I'm going to go there shortly. 855-752-4842. Thank you, Dr. Tim Slecker. Busted Pencils. Find him on Twitter at Busted Pencils. Find the podcast up on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Appreciate Tim. Always, I got the impression he's not down for the elimination of the Department of Education.
No.
Nor does he want Ron Johnson, Rojo, to be the education czar.
No.
No, no. Thank you for the notes. I believe all the mic issues have been squared away for the social media stuff. Once again, 855-752-4842. Let's get to some of the callers before our next guest. Who do we got coming up next? We have Kevin Munoz, a senior spokesperson for the Harris Walls campaign. We're going to preview the debate for this evening. But in the meantime, you are up. Joanne from Madison, welcome to the Dom Show. What do you got for us, Joanne?
Great show. I'm just bringing up an issue that maybe is more germane to what Dr. Tim was talking about, but a student debt.
Oh, right. Yes.
I haven't heard about on some previous campaigns. How do we bring it up? Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Great point. And certainly Joe Biden, the president, has made that an effort, and he's done some action, executive orders, and doing what he can. They've been challenged in court, so they've had mixed results. That's a great point. I haven't heard of the Harris-Walz campaign talk about student debt relief a whole lot.
Not yet.
And now we did come out. She does have, and it is start perusing her policy statements from the website. So perhaps you'll get some more detail on that. But yeah, yes, certainly. I mean, this debt. I mean, it is something. And you talk about the cost of going to school and continuing your education. And the contributions from the federal government, from the state government, towards that education, not only just college education, but the trades as well. I mean, we need to invest in these activities. I think we want, but perhaps some people don't want an educated populace. But well, I guess if you're too educated, you ask too many questions.
Too many damn questions.
Too many questions. A good point, Joanne. I hope to hear more on the student debt crisis in this country. It is a crisis. People are deciding not to further their education formally because of the cost. And, cost can be addressed in multiple ways. And certainly the existing debt can be addressed as well by executive order or by legislation. Got to get out, got to vote, got to get people in there that will address it. Certainly won't be the Republicans. They have no problem with it. Hey, you signed up for it. Pay the bill, no problem. Of course, for them, Trump went bankrupt, too bad, so sad. You know, leave all you suckers holding the bag, but you know what you can't do? You can't write off your student debt in bankruptcy.
No. See, if you've got a whole bunch of money, then you get at least like 3 bailouts just for funsies and freezies. Yeah. But if you don't have that much money, good luck.
Good luck. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. 855-752-4842. Friend from the leftist coast, L.A. Tom. Hey, Tom, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. What do you got for us?
Oh, man, Dom, it's so great to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
And first off, we the people ultimately are the government. And
yeah,
we
man.
Show it with our voting. And that's not on our hands, but actually getting out and voting. So anyone that has undecideds out there, make sure you get them out registered, and since Wisconsin is same day registration,
yes,
get whoever you can out to vote. Let me ask you a question. Do you think tonight we might have a profile in Courage by our media where they can either tell the viewing audience that we really don't give a damn about your opinion, Donald Trump, or actually call him out and say that just is not true? Because I don't think it's Kamala's job to be correcting him and wasting her time, correcting his lies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
think
you
that
know, from
is
well, there's
the
a little
moderator's
bit
moderator's job.
It depends on the on the rules of the debate, right? So, as a general rule, I'm assuming there is not going to be real time fact checking, Tom. I just assume that's not going to happen. I've seen some articles, talking about as part of the Fourth Estate's, your duty is to do that. And I don't think it's Kamala's job to do it either. But there certainly is a balance that she, as the other debater on the stage, is going to have to figure out. Sometimes I think she's going to have to. She should. And sometimes she's going to have to just kind of let it go. And those are calls that are made in the moment, Tom. There are calls based on the topic, based on what his reaction is, based on what the question is. There's a lot of things, you're thinking on your feet. And I know the Republicans think, they got it. Trump is great on his feet and Kamala, she can't put two sentences together. I know that's what they project. I don't know if they actually believe that. I think Kamala Harris will be a formidable debate opponent. And I hope that she does get in there occasionally here and there, Tom, to push back, to correct, if need be, if she sees an opening. But I don't think she does it every time. And I don't think you can't do it every time, and you can't just ignore it either. I think there's a happy medium somewhere, and where that bell curve exists for Kamala, I don't know, man. We'll have to wait and see. I'm very much looking forward to it. What's your expectation? I mean, besides the fact checking portion of it, what are you hoping to take away from this?
Well, I'm hoping that maybe in her closing arguments or closing statement, that's where she can bring it all together. And I'm hoping that, throughout the thing, she can just keep on being the person that she is, who's looking towards the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, brings up that word Project 2025 quite a bit, and that we don't want to be living in a dystopian or a Handmaid's Tale type world. And, you know, a woman has the right to choose. Government does not have the right to choose. And as Tim Walz constantly says, mind your own damn business.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a shirt on right now. It says, mind your own damn business, because of the fact that I want everyone to start just minding their own business. But when it comes to a social safety net, as Professor Kay was saying, you know, that's what we want, is a strong social safety net. So, yeah, I don't really have a lot of expectations, but I'm hoping that people honestly can see what the liar, or what a liar Trump really is. Because he really, I mean, he's just, he's like, you know, the old nursery rhyme with the three beans and Jack and the beanstalk. He's a grifter. That's what he is. You know, and I hope people really come back, you know, with that at the end, where he's just a grifter, and stop falling for his crap.
Yeah, yeah. Great thought, Tom. Thank you for the call. Thanks for listening. I a couple of things. I think when she wraps it up, you know, we are not going back. I think is a great message and a great exclamation point to some of these very important issues. And we're going to have coming up next, Kevin Muniz, a senior spokesperson for the Harris Walz campaign. We're going to talk about this debate, the prep, the what our expectations are. And you know, I got a little PTSD after the last debate. And I was, as mentioned 100 times, I would vote for Biden over Trump. I would vote for the doorknob over Donald Trump. There is no way. But Kamala Harris, I believe there is a market for her, the people that do not know her yet, that I think will pay attention. And I think her main focus should be on talking to those folks. You know, the Trump sideshow stuff, the calling him out on his BS, yes, a little flavor here and there. But Kamala, be Kamala. Present yourself to the folks
that are... Be a prosecutor.
That are wondering who you are, what you're about, and why are you better than Donald Trump? She is Kevin Muniz, spokesperson for the Harris Walz campaign, coming up next. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. Excited to bring our next guest out right now, senior spokesperson for the Harris Walz campaign, Kevin Muniz. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, Kevin. What do you got for us?
For having me. Happy day of the week it is here in Wilmington, Delaware.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. We have so much anticipation for this debate. I want to get right to it, Kevin. How does the vice president prepare for this, and what are the expectations on your side?
Well, look, the goal of this debate for the vice president is making sure for those undecided voters in these battleground states that we are showing two contrasting visions for the United States of America. We got Kamala Harris on one side, who wants to bring the country forward, who wants to turn the page on the chaos and the division of Donald Trump, and really fight for a country that works for every single one of us. And then we're going to have Donald Trump. I don't have to tell you that much about him, but what I can tell you is he wants to take the country backwards. He has openly mused about jailing his political opponents and weaponizing the government against them, and he wants a national abortion ban. So we think that helping cement that choice this evening and throughout the whole election cycle is going to be really helpful.
Kevin, a little PTSD on our side after the last debate. You know, we love Uncle Joe, the president, Joe Biden. It was a tough debate to get through. But now it seems to me Kamala is the younger, more aggressive, more articulate candidate on the podium. How will the campaign, how will the vice president deal with the potential of the constant flow of lies? And will there be any sort of fact check? How do you think what's the proper balance between addressing some obvious and surely to be lies from from your opponent, but also coming forth and bringing a positive message to those who have yet to really meet you?
Well, so on the first question, I'll just be really frank with you. It is the obligation and the duty of the ABC moderators to hold Donald Trump accountable. He is a serial liar, and the American people deserve moderators that are going to make sure that this is a fair debate based on the truth. Well, I can tell you about the vice president. She is going to lay out a vision for the future. She is going to talk about her plan to go after corporate greed, to lower costs for the American people, to invest in small businesses, to address crime in our communities and create safer communities from gun violence, and really build a country that is moving away from the division of the Trump years. And that is our goal, and that is what we have the opportunity to do tonight.
Kevin, some of the Republicans have encouraged the former president, Donald Trump, to embrace the policy argument and get away from the name-calling and the misogyny and the racism that has been so prevalent in so many of his communications. I got to tell you, if his policy on, say, for example, lowering the cost of childcare in this country is anything like his answer that he gave recently, I look forward to those answers. Kevin, what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? let's talk about Trump's policies. Let's talk about Project 2025.
Yes.
for folks that don't know. It starts with purging the government of anybody that's not sufficiently loyal to him and replacing them with loyalists. He wants to eliminate the independence of the Department of Justice. He wants to ban abortion nationwide, restricting access to contraception and IVF. He wants to force states to report on women's miscarriages and abortions. He would put Medicare and Social Security on the chopping block. He would gut the Department of Education. So again, if we want, the list goes on and on. I don't have to tell you this, Dom. If he wants to have a conversation on policy, I can tell you the vice president is not just prepared, she is more than happy to, because we know when Democrats, like the vice president, talk about their plan to make the American people's lives better, we win.
We have Kevin Munoz, senior spokesperson for the Harris-Walz campaign, for just another few more minutes. Kevin, thank you for your time today. I believe the vice president referred to the efforts by Republicans and this tracking of, I don't know, women's periods as they are out of their minds. Kevin, I have not heard the vice president, you know, jumping on the female candidate kind of aura thing. I think Hillary Clinton did it a little bit more. I think it's been a little more downplayed in this go around. How important do you think it is for, you know, the vice president, obviously a woman, and addressing this Dobbs decision and a potential of a national abortion ban?
You're right. It's out of his mind is an understatement. Mm-hmm. What Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and MAGA Republicans have shown that they are willing to do is to go to the furthest length possible to take away the well-being and the rights of women across the country. I don't have to tell you this, but the horror stories from places like my home state of Florida about women having to travel hundreds of miles or risk death. That is the reality that Donald Trump has created. So it really doesn't matter in our view, and it doesn't matter in the view of American women that have turned out in election after election when Donald Trump says he's not for something that we know that he is for, and he is going to be forced to answer for the irreparable harm that he has done to women across this country. And he's going to be forced to answer for why his running mate was the guy that was openly against and voted against IVF protections at the federal level, which, you know, for the party of, you know, family and freedom, I don't really think that's a reflection of family or freedom.
Well, Kevin, should he also be forced to address the fact that his last running mate is not his current running mate? Because if I recall, the sounds coming out of the Capitol on January 6th was, hang Mike Pence. We still haven't gotten any sort of, you know, closure on these cases. The sentencing for the fraud kickback, this trial, you know, in D.C. and these other cases are going to be after the election. Will the vice president bring up these very, I think, very important issues? I mean, we're talking about a guy who tried to orchestrate a coup against his country and toss out my vote, your vote, everyone else's who didn't vote for him. I think that's a big deal, and I feel like it's not really being portrayed as such. Do you think the vice president should go after him on that, given an opportunity?
Look, I think the vice president and this campaign and Democrats up and down the ballot have made clear that democracy and the future and the fate of the backbone of this country are absolutely on the ballot this November. And you bring up a great point. The people like Vice President Pence, the people like Anthony Scaramucci, who's with the campaign today here in Philadelphia, the people that know him best do not trust him. They do not believe he is fit for the office of commander in chief. And our goal and our obligation here is to show that that lack of fitness and what he did to undermine the backbone of this country, our democracy, is disqualifying. So I think I won't telegraph or get ahead of what she may or may not do tonight. But I can promise you so much of what this campaign will be focused on is making sure that we are cementing that choice and holding Donald Trump accountable for what he was done to our democracy.
Kevin Munoz, senior spokesperson for the Harris-Walz campaign, for just a couple more minutes. Kevin, the Republicans and the MAGAs and Trump certainly feel that they have a Trump card in their back pocket. They're going to pull it out. It's going to be the immigration issue, the border issue. How do you think the vice president should address that?
Let's talk about immigration. When you talk to the average voter, the average American, and what they care about when it comes to our immigration system, they understand it's broken, and they are sick and tired of members of Congress and politicians like Donald Trump sitting around in Washington, D.C., and doing nothing to address this issue. And what the vice president gets to talk about tonight, what she gets to talk about on the campaign trail every single day, is that she worked hand in glove with Republicans in the Senate to deliver on a bipartisan border security deal that would have made this country safer. But Donald Trump killed it. And that is exactly what the American people are so fed up with these elected officials like Trump that say they're going to fix a problem and refuse to. So this, again, it gets back to the basic thrust of why the vice president is in this race. She works for the American people. Donald Trump only works for himself.
Kevin, last 60 seconds, foreign policy. The former president has said, you know, we are laughed at in the world now, and when he was there, everybody loved us. But he also, you know, laid down the deal for the Afghanistan withdrawal. A lot of the criticism on that, well, that was a deal cut by the former president. He handed the next administration that sandwich, let's call it. And as we know, the vice president, Kamala Harris, was involved in helping secure the release of some of these prisoners from across the country. How important and how much of a priority do you think should be placed on foreign policy in this debate?
I think the American people are looking for a commander-in-chief, point and blank. And a commander-in-chief puts America first. A commander-in-chief understands that America is stronger when it works with its allies. A commander-in-chief does not coddle up to dictators and cozy up to people like Vladimir Putin, invite the Taliban to Camp David on the anniversary of 9/11. That is what Donald Trump stands for. And so when we have this conversation tonight, when we have this conversation throughout this campaign cycle, Donald Trump is the one that's going to have to be forced to answer for his unacceptable and just completely anti-American foreign policy agenda.
Kevin Munoz, thank you so much for your time. I know you got a hard break. Senior spokesperson for the Harris-Walz campaign. We will all be watching with great anticipation this evening. Thanks again for your time, Kevin.
Thank you, Dom. Talk soon.
You're very welcome. Folks, we are the Dom Salvia Show. That's Jess. I'm Dom. Calls are welcome. Lines are open. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Once again, I want to appreciate, send some thanks out to Kevin Munoz, senior spokesperson for the Harris-Walz campaign. I love it when the circus come around. I mean, one of my favorite things about this time of year is random, awesome people coming in and giving the spiel, saying what they got to say. And, you know, obviously they're for the candidate. You know, it's not like I'm going to get them on anything. But we all appreciate, we all appreciate it when the campaign gets their folks out there and help spread that message. We appreciate it when you join us on the lines, 855-752-4842. Oh, a blast from the past. CJ, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. CJ, what do you got for us?
Hey, Dom, how you doing, buddy?
I'm awesome, man. How you doing, CJ?
I am good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
so,
man.
I want to ask you a question. Who's been in office for the last 3.5 years?
President Joe Biden. Did he really win?
And who's his vice president?
Well, that's Kamala Harris.
Oh, really? Because all of a sudden now he's all of a sudden going to fix everything, right?
Well, she has some policy proposals that she's going to. Yeah, yes. That's why I'm voting for her, because I expect her to actually do the job. Unlike your guy who tried to overthrow the government, CJ. You remember? Did you hear? You hear him? He lost by a whisker, CJ. Did you hear that? He lost by a whisker. He said it this week. He finally admitted he lost. Do you think this whole stop the steal thing, this whole it's going to be wild, and if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a government? He admitted he lost the election. Does that change your mind about this candidate at all, CJ?
Not even a little.
Not a little. Because so did you believe he lost before he said it, or did you think he won?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, that what do you mean it doesn't matter, man? Of course it matters. Why, hang on a second. Why don't you think this matters? You don't think that my vote counts should count? That matters? You don't think that your vote counting should matter? I think those are very important basic tenets of a democracy, of self-governance, CJ. The guy lied about it, man. And he continues to lie about it, occasionally slips up and says, yeah, I lost by a whisker. But, man, you trust him again? Do you think that if he loses again, that he'll accept that loss? Or do you think he's going to say he won? And then what happens then, CJ?
Well, here's the mere fact, Dom. Kamala and Joe Biden have been in control for 4 years. Kamala.
Yes.
Have been in control for 4 years. And they're a total freaking failure.
I know that's your opinion, man, but I don't know what your comparables are. Is it the market? You know, because the dollar's up. Is it people dying of COVID? Because that's down. You know, what is it? Wages? That's up. You know, yeah, there's some things, man. I get it. You know, the inflation was tough, but, you know, there's a lot of greedflation going on there, CJ. So, listen, I appreciate it, man. If you're going to say that your candidate trying to overthrow the government lying to you about whether he won or whether he lost, that that's no big deal. Well, I get it, man. You're not going to be convinced by any set of facts at all. But I do appreciate you listening to the Dom Salvia Show, where you can join anytime, 4 to 6 at 855-752-4842. Only one segment left. Just, oh, man, time flies
goodness,
when you're having
it goes
fun.
Fast.
Come back with us.
Lost by a whisker.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Appreciate you listening and hanging out for one last segment. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines, 855-752-4842. I've been slacking on my duties here. The phone number is also a text line. So let me review a few of these fine texters. I'd love to know what CJ thinks about the numerous times Trump has said he wants to have sex with Ivanka. I don't know if I need to know what anybody thinks about that. We'll just let that one lay out there. What is Trump's plan with student loans after he gets rid of the Department of Education? The department gives out the majority of college loans, also oversees colleges that receive federal funds. Is accountability for colleges going to go out the window with Trump?
Well, I mean, that would really change everything. I mean,
in parentheticals, wouldn't surprise me the way Trump U was. I mean, I can absolutely see someone like Ron Johnson or hell, even Donald Trump opening up a new Trump U because, well, the Department
it
of Education.
First
it's
time around.
Fine. It's fine.
You don't need accreditation.
No. And you can get loans. That's great. You can get loans, all sorts of loans. It's really easy to get student loans. You can load up on your student loans and go to an unaccredited Trump University, get literally nothing for your degree and all the money. Oh, that's right.
No, you'll get something.
You'll get a piece of paper?
You'll get a piece of paper, maybe.
Maybe.
But you'll certainly get debt.
And the joy of walking away with a diploma.
The joy and the honor and prestige.
Trump
University.
Trump you. That's just terrible. All right, let's get to some callers. Our friend Joe from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Joe. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom, I wanted to go back to a subject you had brought up in the previous hour, very interesting subject about Mr. Hovde, the Laguna Beach, California Beach millionaire who would like to be a senator from Wisconsin. And he was apparently railing on Senator Baldwin, saying that her girlfriend who works at Morgan Stanley should be blabbermouthing what her client's assets are so that we all can, well, actually not for us, but so he can decide whether these are proper or not.
Yes.
So he can decide whether it meets, although there are ethics, and I can't imagine that anybody from Morgan Stanley would be too pleased to hear that anyone's blabbing, you know, what the clients have. I mean, my God, that's actionable. You're supposed to keep your pie hole shut about that stuff.
Right.
And a person who owns a bank that's worth what he claims $3 billion in assets doesn't understand this or is ignoring it is an amazing thing. And I would point out, you know, one of your previous guests was talking about his blue collar friends, and it's interesting to me because it's this attack on Tammy is fascinating to me because Tammy does not come from wealth. You know, Hubby has, Grandpa had real estate money, Dad had real estate money, and he got a nice smooth slide into where he is today. It was interesting. I was reading about her, and her dad is not in the picture. Her mother got divorced from her father before Tammy Baldwin was born, and her mom was 19 years old when she gave birth to Tammy. And her mother had severe problems with mental illness and with addiction to opioids for most of her life. And so Tammy was raised by Grandpa and Grandma, and who fortunately came to her rescue, and she made something of herself. You know, she worked, she made something of herself, and now has been our senator for I don't know how many terms and done a very good job. But she comes from blue collar. She comes from not wealth, no trust funds. And in the same way, it strikes me that but VP Harris is similar in that she has talked about the fact that she is middle class, as is Walz. Middle class, meaning that she said my mom had a budget. You know, coupons, all of that stuff.
All that stuff, that we've done. And if you grow up in the middle class or lower class, you know these things. I mean, that was part of it. That was, you know, you get that Sunday paper with all those, you start clipping it out. I mean, it's not like it was now. You know, it's easier now, but back then, you know, there was an effort to try to save a little bit of money when you could.
Every Sunday, you'd go through it. And there's a wonderful bit of video, if you get a chance, of Mr. Walz talking about Menards and the when you send back the rebate at Menards and you get 11%. He knew it. He knew exactly how much you get because I'm sure he's done it on a teacher's salary with two kids. I am sure that they have done that in the past.
Yeah.
So I think there's a real difference here. And for people who are looking at trying to make choices about who is going to represent my interests, it's pretty clear. Both of those guys, Trump and Hovde, come from wealthy backgrounds. And there's been no scrimping and saving in those families, no worries about how you pay for college, no worries about what are you going to do for health care, because there's money. There's daddy's money always in the back corner. Not so for these two women. And so I think it gives them a perspective that's a little bit more in line with the rest of us.
Joe, do you think – no, I just want to get your thought here for a moment,
sure.
if I may, Joe. Do you think there is misogyny in that? You know, we're talking about Tammy Baldwin. She's gay. She has a girlfriend. You know, he's going after her in that regard. And of course, they're not married. And if people like Hovde and Trump would have their way, they probably would never be able to be married if they so chose. But at the same time, in the same breath, Hovde continues to take deposits from foreign banks, foreign corporations. We don't know. And I think, don't you think there's, if you're going to be transparent and want and demand these kinds of things, and although Tammy Baldwin has followed all the legal and ethical obligations as to letting people know where her finances is, and when she went and has these on the condo, she reported that. You know, if Hovde wants her to step out and offer more than she's required to by law and by ethic, as a senator or wannabe senator, shouldn't Eric Hovde lead by example?
Yeah, but I think he's going to run into a problem when he opens up his bank records and starts talking about the assets of the clients. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's an unfounded chart. The guy's nuts. I mean, you don't blabbermouth about what your clients have. I mean, not secrecy, but keeping your pie hole shut is kind of an essential element to being a business person, a banker like that.
I mean, if you are a fiduciary, Joe, you can't be a fiduciary for your clients and be all blabbermouthing about their assets and where all the money's at.
No, that's actionable, I think. I'm not a lawyer, but my God, I can't believe that somewhere in that fine print it doesn't say, shut your pie hole when it comes to my finances. You don't release it unless there's a warrant. You know?
It's the shut your pie hole version of the contract. Thank you, Joe. Always appreciate it. Thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you to our guest, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus, Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's a local hero. Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. Find their podcast up at civicmedia.us. And, of course, Kevin Munoz, Senior Spokesman for the Harris Walls Campaign. Tune in tomorrow. Matt Rothschild, Batman, our friend's going to join me for the show post-debate. Join us. Stick around. Nightlight with Pete Schwalba coming up next. Thank you, Jess.
Yeah, you know it. Just can't help yourself, yeah.